If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he said in verse 3, endure hardness. See there? See, warriors can take it. Philistines came to Ziklag, burned the place down, took the women and the children, and all the folks who were with David wanted to stone him. Bible said David sat down. He didn't pray. He encouraged himself. I'm going to tell you how he encouraged himself. Bible don't tell you, but I'm going to tell you. This is what David did. David sat down, assessed the situation, said the Philistines came and took all the women and the kids and all the other people wanted to kill David. They were upset because he went out to find the armies and they doubled back and destroyed everything. David started thinking, said, wait a minute. I killed a lion and a bear. Mm-hmm. Then I killed Goliath. Mm-hmm. And God kept me from Saul killing me over 27 times. Mm-hmm. Saul killed his thousands and I killed my 10,000. Mm-hmm. And by the time he looked back at his life, he had so much encouragement that he could go to God and pray. He said, can I go after him? God said, pursue. God didn't say, I'm going to give you back everything. He said, take it. You don't let the devil walk out with your joy. Grab him and say, I leave that here. You didn't give it to me. You can't take it. No, Paul says, endure hardness. Things aren't going to go right all the time. Take it. Make it work for you. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Then he says, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. That's what God means over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 when he said, come out from among them and separate yourself. You can't win the battle if you are inundated by the drug or intoxicated by the lifestyle that God is trying to call you out of. If you love the world, then you don't want the appearance of Jesus. Why is the devil fighting us? Because we don't belong to him anymore. I'd rather he fight me than leave me alone, because if he's leaving me alone, that means we're walking in the same direction. I can take a little bit of battle. I was telling a Christian the other day, I said, you know, I don't even care if people talk about me, lie on me. I don't care no more. I really don't. I said, because the only reason why they're doing it is because I'm living for God. None of that stuff should bother you. Endure hardness. Separate yourself. Make yourself just full of God. Get so full of God that none of this other stuff matters. The Bible says that the devil was the anointed cherub that covered. He covered the throne of God. God has four seraphs with six wings, and they sit in strategic places in the throne of God, declaring the holiness of God. If the scriptural teaching is suggesting to us that Lucifer is the anointed cherub that covers, then he would have made up the fifth singer in the group. He would have been the David Ruffin of the Temps. So while Paul and Otis and Eddie and Melvin were singing, you know, the choruses, Lucifer was, he had the lead. Now, in most cases, the lead singer always thinks they're better and want to separate the group. So Satan decided, seeing that God had a seat in his throne that was not yet occupied, God knew it was for Jesus. Satan, being the anointed cherub, must have concluded that seat is for him. Because the Bible said he was perfect in all of his ways. And he even declared his pipes were perfect. And so he's able to go and convince one third of the holy angels to fall with him. Now, five is the number of grace. Satan cannot create, so he perverts whatever is God's. Satan perverts it. He still utilizes the number system of God because it is spiritually significant. And so God had five who sang for him. Satan comes down and through witchcraft creates the pentagram, which is five. But this time he's at the head because he wants to be worshiped. He wants to be God. Even during the tribulation days, he creates a trinity, three, made up of Satan, Antichrist, and the false prophet, made to pervert God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is out for one thing from you, your worship. That's all he wants. He tried it with Jesus. He came at Jesus through the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. And he comes at us the same way. Warfare is hinged upon those three things of 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And we do not have any weaponry to fight it unless we go to the Word of God, because we are all susceptible to it in the flesh. He knows how to lift your pride when you sing a song and somebody falls out. Now you the little Richard of the worship set. Where do you think all this battle for the church choirs comes from? It's a subtle act of pride. How can you vote for the best choir when they're all energized by the same spirit? It's warfare to get one against the other. And then we move into flesh. We're in there doing steps now. Flesh! God did not call us to compete with each other. He called us to lift him. Satan comes in, and this is a form of warfare, to get us to take our eyes off of Jesus. Now, how do you know when your eyes are being taken off of Jesus? How? Whenever you get into trouble or a negative situation, who do you call first? That lets you know where your faith is. I am not saying you shouldn't call your doctor for certain health issues, but the doctor should be second. You go to the Lord first and say, what should I do about this? Because warfare requires us to disengage from the lifestyle of the world. He says, take your share of suffering as a good soldier. Stop trying to be right. Take the wrong. I've sat across from people who are licensed, ordained ministers and listen to them pervert scripture, say the wrong things, and I just sit there, It's not necessary for me to correct everybody. Sometimes you have to avoid being pedantic. You have to avoid showing that you know. God knows what he said. You don't have to correct everybody. You ever run into somebody, you're just saying something, and you use the wrong adjective. Not what you meant to say was. And you really just want to lose it and say, well, look, I'm going to tell you what I was really going to say. Because everybody's trying to correct you. No, just disengage. Next week, Lord willing, we want to examine you moving into warfare. The Apostle Paul writes about this, and he uses the human example of the Roman soldier. During his day, Rome was the most formidable power. And it's interesting because Rome didn't start out that way as a great military power. I don't know how good your history is, but the Roman government was first attacked early on by a man named Hannibal, who came from Africa. And Hannibal miraculously got his armies across the Mediterranean into Italy. And he went to northern Italy and began this southerly march because he promised his father that he would burn Rome to the ground. Now, history proves to us that Hannibal, along with his elephants, defeated every legion that the Romans threw against him with tactics they had never seen. The last battle that he fought, he killed 15,000 Roman soldiers. He was 2.5 days from the capital of Rome. And the Romans were not prepared for his onslaught. But though he was a good general, he was not a person to master the victory that he had won. So he decided to wait until Rome asked for peace. He thought that his previous battles would cause them to be afraid and want to ask for peace. But unbeknownst to him, the Roman government had issued a decree that nobody in the city was to even use the word peace or they would be jailed. And they just waited him out until he lost heart, his soldiers lost heart, and they sailed back home. You see, when Jesus fought the devil, he not only defeated him, but he went in for the kill. When he went to hell and took the keys from the devil, he was saying to the devil, no matter what you do, you can never have them back. Now, you and I have to have that same mindset. When God delivers us, we have to close off the areas that the devil used to get into our lives. Don't just be a good general for the battle, but learn how to move your victory into post-war success. Don't just stop smoking and say, "Woo, praise the Lord, I'm delivered." Deal with the things that made you smoke in the beginning. Too often we deal with symptoms and not the cause. Why does that person make you so angry? That's a form of warfare. Bitterness and unforgiveness is a form of warfare. The enemy uses unforgiveness as warfare against us. Rebellion, disobedience, warfare. And you and I must deal with those things that cause that to come.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Set your calendars, mark your calendars, do whatever you got to do to your calendars to come out to our Lord Make Us One 2018 Spring Revival. Revival dates are Tuesday, May 15th through Friday, May 18th at 7 p.m. nightly and Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Each weeknight we'll be blessed with a word from God preached by these sons of the Bethel Deliverance International Church family. Pastor Kevin Washington, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon, Pastor Tim Baldwin, and Pastor Jason Spruill. On Sunday evening, join us for an impactful word from our pastor, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Services will be held at the Bethel Deliverance International Church Main Sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue, Wincote, PA, 19095. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit us via the internet at BethelDeliverance.org.